Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
We got a nice tight episode for you guys this week.
Oh, yeah.
No guest. Episode with no guest. It's going to be an intimate affair.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Were you going to disagree?
Well, one time me and Matthew Brian Cohen did one. But then he technically was a guest because you weren't on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Just a little me and Greg.
I like it. It's like roomy in here. We could stretch out.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Finally.
Have our feet up.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. Greg reupholstered a chair.
It's true.
In the Duck Snort podcast studio, and it is nice.
Yeah.
It looks great. It feels great. Great job, Greg.
Oh, thank you. It's kind of sad that, like, that's been the most interesting thing in my life for, like, about a week, like, that I was working on it. So any conversation that I had, I was like, so I'm reupholstering this chair.
But that's great, though, because when someone's like, how have you been doing, or what have you been up to? Because you're always... I'm always just like, I don't know, the same exact thing always.
Yeah, and, I don't have to talk about work or whatever.
But you can be like, I've been upholstering a chair, and I feel like that's a great answer to that question.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Before we get into baseball talk, let's give a shout out to Boardwalk Audio, who hosts this podcast. You can support Boardwalk by visiting boardwalkaudio.com/ducksnort. Click the support our artist link. That'll take you to Amazon. Shop like you normally would. We get a small percentage of that. We appreciate that very much. Let's also shout out offthebenchbaseball.com, our new partner. Been very much enjoying working with them.
Oh yeah.
They've been cranking out great content so far this season. So yeah, visit them, check out the analysis from all the writers there, and support us and them at the same time. It's great. Two for one support deal.
Two for one support.
So before we get into Major League Baseball talk, let's talk LA Baseball Federation, Waylon and I are both now officially a part of. We just had our first game of the year.
Opening day for us.
Yeah.
And literally just like it finished an hour ago, maybe.
Yeah. And it was great.
It was fun.
It was super fun. Comeback victory for the Sliders, our team. We came back from down.
We were down 5-2.
5-2 in the ninth, 4-0 in the eighth.
Yeah.
It was a good comeback.
We won 7-5, final score 7-5.
Yeah, we made their bullpen look like the White Sox bullpen, which has been a great frustration for me over the last week. So,
I feel like when you're rebuilding, the bullpen's the last to come together.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can kind of, it's the easiest to put together last minute or late or cheaply.
Yeah, well, and any good pitcher gets traded, like any good reliever gets traded. So, like, the White Sox had a bunch of good relievers last year and traded them mostly to the Yankees and also to the Brewers and also to the Rays. They traded everybody who was like a major league pitcher. So, it's going to be an ugly ending. Like, the ends of games are going to be ugly for the White Sox for sure.
But Greg went 2-for-3.
Yeah.
Run scored. You didn't get an RBI, but
I scored
two runs.
Oh no, I did get an RBI.
You did
I got the insurance run.
Yeah, that's right. And I got conked in the head.
Yeah, you took one off the head.
First plate appearance, took one off the noggin.
You know what? Taking one for the team, and he made a great play in the field in the ninth inning to seal the victory.
And Joe Weber did great. I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but
yeah, it was a
he made
fun
contact. He didn't strike out. I think he was one of only two players that didn't.
This
strike
is
out.
The first time that I've played organized baseball since Little League, so I was like a little bit nervous going in, as pathetic as that is to say, like out loud.
I was nervous,
But I'm very happy. I would encourage anybody who's listening who like is a baseball fan but hasn't played, like, find a league. It was I really was even surprised by how much fun it was, you know?
And this league, the great thing is that it was a bunch of people that didn't want to take it as seriously as like the city leagues, so they put a league together.
Yeah.
So when you say find a league, you really need to just find
start a league.
50 people that want to play baseball, and now you have four teams.
Yeah.
Just get a field.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what we're doing.
Yeah.
I guess there are six teams in our league, I think.
I don't know.
I don't know. But it's great. And it goes till September. We have 16 games every week.
Hell yeah.
It'll be fun.
So it's going to be great. So get ready for more updates about a league you don't care about in a city you're probably not in. We also want to do, since it's just Greg and Waylon time here, we got nobody cracking the whip telling us what to do.
No Joe Weber.
No Joe Weber Taskmaster.
Tapping on his wrist.
His invisible watch. We wanted to do just a quick drag race check in RuPaul's Drag Race because we talked about it a little bit a few weeks ago. It's the other sport of choice, I guess, within for the two of us right now.
Yeah.
And the new season is three episodes.
We're three
deep.
Episodes in a season nine. Yeah. Should we give like a spoiler alert?
I guess spoiler alert if you're interested in seeing Drag Race and have not yet watched it.
Or if you've somehow not watched episode three yet.
I feel like people who watch Drag Race like watch it immediately. It is not, it's like Game of Thrones. It's like not a thing that you catch up on and binge or something like that. It's like, no, Thursday night is Drag Race night and you don't fuck with my schedule on that night. At least that's how my girlfriend Robin and her friends are.
Yeah, we watch it on the app, which it doesn't load until like the next day.
Oh,
and
right.
So like, but Friday we're always like last Friday we had something over and over, but we left a party at like 9:30 because we're like, we gotta
watch.
We gotta get home.
Watch.
We can't. We can't go to Saturday.
Yeah.
We can't go to Saturday. How do you like in the new season? Season 10.
I think it's solid. There's no clear front runner to me. But there's also like not a ton of weak girls.
No, I think I agree with you. I don't know who's going to go. I think actually, if we're going to get really deep dive into this, I think Eureka, weirdly enough, is the weakest one left. And she's not bad.
Yeah, but she killed it this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe she is. I'm not a big fan of Cameron Michaels. I'm not a big fan of Dusty Ray Bottoms, although her like
great
personal story this week was
that
very,
was
very
a really
good
one.
About sort of coming out and not being accepted and finding her place. Very moving.
Yeah.
I'm trying
to
think of
like
ways
gay conversion therapy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm trying to think of ways to relate this to baseball right now, by the way.
This is like, Dusty Ray, I was going to say Josh Hamilton, but Dusty Ray Bottoms was like a victim. Josh Hamilton did it to himself.
The drug abuse. Yeah. That's probably not a great comparison.
But it's a really solid, there's great parody if you want to. This is like one of those years where you don't.
Oh,
the
sure.
opposite of this year where we're like, we know like the eight best teams, but one of those years where you're like, six teams could be the AL champ.
Here's a question for you that is not directly related, but is interesting to me is, when do you think we're going to have an openly gay baseball player in Major League Baseball? I feel like I would guess within the next like 2 to 3 years.
I would think so. I feel like obviously baseball has the biggest rosters. So just like by numbers, like there have obviously been gay baseball players that haven't come out that.
Yeah.
There's no way that that's not true. But I do feel like baseball is a little more conservative. It's one of the most conservative sports. It skews. So I feel like, I don't know, is football the only major sport with an openly gay player?
No, basketball. Jason Collins.
Oh, right. I forgot about Jason Collins.
He was the only active one. And then football has had a couple in training camps, but nobody on an active roster. MLS has had a couple, I believe.
I think you're right. I think by 2020, 2021, we'll have an openly gay player.
I hope so.
There can't be that
many
people that care anymore in the clubhouse, I mean.
Yeah, and also, like, if they do care, like, get the fuck over it. Like, they don't care about other things in the private lives of their teammates, I'm sure. So, like, why is it, like, don't make a fucking deal out of it,
and
you know?
It is definitely one of those things where, like, if an angel came out as gay, then Mike, and someone was trying to be an idiot about it, then Mike Trout or, like, a team lead, like, it seems like every team would have a team leader step forward to be like, knock this shit off.
Yeah, sure.
Like, it, like, so, like, if it's coming internally, like, if your star is saying, like, this isn't a big deal, who cares, all I want to do is win, they deserve to be on the roster, then that is going to be, like, the biggest step towards nipping anything in the bud.
I wonder how much ownership in the different franchises, like, creates a culture of maybe acceptance or non-acceptance for that. Because I think in the NFL especially, like, a lot of those owners are very conservative. Yeah. And I think probably baseball, too. Like, you just have rich old white guys. Like, you know, odds are that they're probably on the conservative side of the spectrum. Like, that's a blanket statement and not going to be true of everyone, but...
It's likely. Yeah. Like, I don't see, like, David Glass being super pumped about having a gay person on the
Royals.
Right,
yeah. So that would be a shame, I guess, if, like, there was any kind of, like, downward pressure from the top of organizations to, like, keep anything private in their lives. I mean, you look at the owner of the Houston Texans, and he sort of has, like, made a lot of terrible statements about his players and about their, right to protest and all that kind of
stuff. He regretted apologizing about saying the prisoners thing this week. Did you see that?
Yeah,
he
regretted saying that they were inmates or something.
He said that.
Oh, no, he regretted apologizing.
He regretted apologizing.
What a fucking asshole.
Like, I read the thing and he said he regretted apologizing because everyone took it out of context, which is dumb, too. Like, he was just saying, like, I wasn't even talking about the players. But it's like, dude, you're an idiot. This is the dumbest thing you could say.
Shut up.
That's a good question, though. I hope it happens soon.
Yeah.
Because once it starts happening, then, like, hopefully it's just like...
Yeah, hopefully somebody breaks that barrier and then it's not a big deal. And, like, maybe those players are able to reach people in who are fans of the team who have maybe never encountered anybody, who's gay before and can sort of... normalize that in their eyes, make them a little bit more accepting. That'd be great, I think.
Yeah. Way to make Drag Race about baseball.
I did it. I did it. I'm the real hero.
I think the front runners are Asia and Miss Cracker right now. But I do agree with
Asia.
You. There's no clear front runner.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I agree, Miss Cracker. I have not been impressed with Asia until this most recent challenge.
With the, 'cause you're new to Drag Race. This is your first actual season. It's definitely a strategy or a thing that can happen where someone can kind of play low and be safe for 4 weeks because all the bottom ones will go and then they like. So the more you watch it, the more you can recognize potential, just like with baseball, where you can see someone struggling in Double A, but you see the tools are there. You know.
Yeah, just need a couple adjustments.
Yeah,
Waylon, way to make Drag Race about baseball. We're going to take a break pretty soon here, but the other thing, I guess I would say the biggest piece of news this week, not related to things happening on the field, was Charlie Blackman's extension. He signed with the Rockies, obviously, extended for, I think it's like 4 years and $90 million guaranteed with a couple of player option seasons on the end. What are your thoughts? I know you're a pretty big fan of Blackman, right?
I do like Blackman a lot. I like the Rockies. I like when players do this because I think it's smart, and I also don't like everyone just... Well, it doesn't happen as much, but I don't like when Harper's going to be a free agent and we know it's going to be the Yankees, Cubs, or Nationals, basically. Is there anybody else going to be in on Harper?
Dodgers, I'd bet.
Dodgers, probably. But, like, and then maybe the Angels because they always seem to have... But it's always, like, the same seven teams. So I like these contracts because I just... Maybe it's just growing up a Royals fan where Beltran and Damon and everybody disappears. It's like, oh, yeah, I like that he's saying, I'll stick around Colorado, I'll give you a chance. It's also, like, a nice vote of confidence from him for the franchise. It must be. But also, he's smart. He's taking guaranteed money. Like, if we're talking about this... like, Longoria did it. Remember when that was, like, a huge thing when Longoria... signed that Rays deal when he was, I think, a rookie or his second year.
He
signed like a 7-year deal.
He was like
or something.
7 games into his career.
Yeah, and it's just like yeah, man, like I get you could make more, but now you're guaranteed money. And it kind of like, would Longoria have made a ton more?
Well, he did. He signed a second contract.
Oh, that's right. But so you can still do that, and he's got player options. I think it's a good move by him. I don't think Blackman, and we saw how bad outfielders like if we trend towards, unless you're in a super elite, JD Martinez is a super elite. So unless you're Bryce Harper, you might not get a huge contract anyway. Take the money.
Yeah.
Stay in Denver. Be a hero. I like that. It's like your town. It's a regional thing. Towns like worship the best players. And so now Blackman and Arenado are like going to be on a pedestal for 4 years or 5 years.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think I saw an article comparing his deal to the Lorenzo Cain deal. And he actually got a better deal.
Oh.
Than, he got more guaranteed money than Cain, despite the fact that he wasn't on the open market. I guess depends on your perspective who's a better player. Blackman has the better numbers, but, you know, their Coors inflated.
Yeah. I don't know much about Blackman's defense. It's got to be average.
I think it's average, you know, he would have been an interesting free agency case to see, like, who rolls the dice on a player with Coors Field numbers. I think I can understand why, like, specifically for him, like, he might have been nervous about that.
That's
especially
true.
With this free agent market. And yeah, I mean, you know, by the end of this contract, if he keeps it up, he could be the best player in Rockies history, like Rockies franchise history.
Yeah.
If you're talking, I don't know how far ahead Todd Helton is by like war or anything like that, but I think he's probably the all-time Rocky
point. He has to be, yeah. Just because he was there for so much longer.
Yeah, Blackman is obviously a fan favorite. I think he's a guy who was not super highly touted, who became a great player, so I can even more understand taking the money. I mean, personally, yeah, it's hard to fathom turning down $100 million, so like you kind of have to divorce your own personal decisions from that.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be interesting to see if any other players take the money, if any of the others sort of like... Now, obviously not Harper or Machado, you know, or probably not Donaldson, the like really upper tier, but like maybe AJ Pollock takes a similar deal with the Diamondbacks.
I think that would be smart on his part. Like, I also think that if it was me, unless I was like the players you just named were like Hall of Fame track players, where you know you should be a free agent, like, I personally, I'm just the type of person that wouldn't be comfortable dealing with free agency. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there have to be personalities out there that are just like, I would just rather have the job and I like Denver or wherever.
Unless
you hate the situation you're in, unless you hate the city you're in, or unless you don't like the management or the ownership. But if you're like, seems like I like the franchise, I like the city I'm in, I don't have to stress for a whole summer. And
It's also like hard to imagine the lifestyle difference between like, having $100 million and having $120 million
what
is that difference meaningfully?
I guess I don't know Blackman's lifestyle. Like, if he already has like a ranch in Colorado and he's like, this is my dream outside of baseball, like, what does he need $20 million more? That's a good point. Versus if you're like if you're A-Rod, who wants to be A-Rod?
Who wants to be on Shark Tank? Do you think he wanted to be on Shark Tank even before Shark Tank existed, and he was signing with the Rangers, and he was like, I want this contract so I can be a TV personality who invests in weird businesses.
I just like the idea that A-Rod invented the idea of Shark Tank. Like,
but
in Texas,
actually,
he was telling everybody in Texas, like, I got this idea for a show when I'm done, and then it happens. He's like, that was my idea. He's like,
he's like, I gotta get in on that. One quick A-Rod tangent before we take a break. Have you been watching Sunday Night Baseball?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't seen him? I think we talked about this a little bit last week. I think he's a pretty good announcer, but like, he's like playing the like old school baseball guy.
Yeah, you did say that last week.
What the fuck? You're not an old school baseball guy. You're like the most like, okay, however you thought about the game, A, you're not that old, and B, you were like the most sabermetric-y sabermetric guy. Like, the numbers fucking loved you, dude.
Yeah.
Like, don't be like, well, what you got to do is hustle. That's how you get. It's like, no, you got your career because you're were insanely naturally talented. B, did a shitload of steroids.
like multiple times.
Yeah, don't tell me that your favorite players are like the gritty, hustly. Yeah. fuck you.
Love Vince Coleman.
like, yeah, exactly. I'm an Eckstein guy, personally. It's like, dude, you could eat David Eckstein. You're a giant athlete, like golden god.
I was watching the Mets broadcast. I don't remember what game. And they got on the whole thing about like, well, the numbers say momentum isn't a thing, but come on. And they were just ranting about it. And I was like, guys, like, I get what you're saying. But they're also doing the things like, well, until you're in that clubhouse, you don't know. And I was like, you guys aren't... Like, you don't play.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I guess maybe their color guy might have been. I don't know who it is. Is it? It's not Keith Hernandez, is it?
Sometimes, I think. Yeah. He may do the studio shows.
There might have been Ron Darling in there. Anyway, I was like, guys, like, I get if you want to have this old school discussion, but I feel like we're far enough along that you have to accept some of it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to acknowledge OBP. You have to, like, you don't have to go, like, super deep, but you have... You have to at least be where everyone was 8 years ago.
In the game, you said right before we started that you'd been sampling a lot of different games and different broadcasts.
Yeah.
Have they been talking about StatCast much? StatCast stuff? Because on the White Sox broadcast, they've been talking a lot about like exit velocity and like
that's cool.
Sprint speed, launch, like stuff like that. It's cool.
The Cubs talk about it a little, but you can tell that they are... I think like JD knows, but he wades delicately into it, and I think it's an audience. I think they're trying to be aware of their audience.
Yeah, because
that's what
fans
it feels
suck.
Like. Yeah, Cubs fans are idiots. the Royals do not do it. I'm trying to think. I haven't heard anything a lot about it. I know the Astros announcers fucking love that team. they're talking about them like all their sons are the Astros. that's good. I'll look out for that more because I'm also like half paying attention. But I do want to, every year I talk about like I want to rank the announcers and go. And so I haven't, so I'm trying to sample to get a good taste.
Benetti and Stone have done a good job of like working it into the broadcast as far
that's
as like,
really cool.
Like not just saying like, oh, that ball was hit hard, but like, oh, that's meaningful because like that's way harder than the average. And so like that, you know, the likelihood of that. And they've even been showing like when they do the defensive, when they do the like super wide shot that shows the whole field with like the outfield defensive alignment.
Yeah.
They have like an overlay that's like, going inward that it's like green, yellow, and red sort of.
Whoa.
And it's like, you know, this zone is like easy to make. This is like questionable. And this is probably a hit, which
that's
is cool.
Yeah. That's cool that Stone's getting on board because he's an old school guy.
He is.
I mean, like just age. He's
right,
been around
a
while.
And he has like old school tendencies that I think actually come out a little bit more with Benetti than they did with Hawk because... Hawk is like so fucking, you know, he's the definition of old school.
Yeah.
So Stone was actually sort of the more like progressive one.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're good. They're doing a good job. So
that's great. That's good to hear.
Well, with that, I think let's go to a little commercial break and we'll be right back with more Duck Snort. Welcome back to what I am referring to as Greg and Wayland Cuddle Time episode of Duck Snort.
I've moved from your vinyl chair.
Yeah, from my reupholstered chair to my couch. We're just sort of nestled in each other's arms. It's very sweet.
It's a very sweet you're a sweet cuddler.
Thank you. So in addition to the Charlie Blackman news that we were just discussing, it's been a weird week in baseball.
Yeah, a lot of rainouts and snowouts and stuff.
A lot of weather-related shenanigans. Tons of snow. I mean, so the season did start about a week earlier than usual.
Yeah.
I guess like 4 days earlier or 5 days earlier.
Yeah, the 29th versus sometimes it starts like the 3rd or whatever. Yeah.
So could be just coincidence. But I've seen it floated in a few places like oh, well, the season should always open with like West Coast teams or dome teams as yeah. the home teams.
Or South, like Florida. Yeah.
Yeah, like warm weather yeah. cities as the home teams. How do you feel about that?
I get it, but I think it's...
I think it makes more sense in theory than in practice because, like, this time of year kind of is a little bit yeah. unpredictable in a lot of cities. So, like, there's no way to say, like, in New York, say, like, oh, the last week of March will be cold, but the first week of April will yeah. be warm, you know?
It's been like this for over 100, like...
Right.
This is, like, even when you start, like, April 6th, like you just said, like, it could still be this.
Yeah.
Like, I went to Royals home openers like in my winter gear. Like I saw the Royals play in like 40 degree weather before. Like
it is weird to see baseball being played when yeah. it's snowing though. Like I feel
weird.
For those dudes. It's not as fun. Like
that's the one thing is like I'm watching and I'm like, there's no way any of them are trying as hard as they can. You know what I mean? Like
how could you?
Yeah. Like I saw Yadier or Yadier Molina hit he got like a single and like they just held on him at first and he was just like shaking his hands doing that thing where you laugh when you're in pain.
Oh yeah,
for like
sure.
the like they just kept cutting to him like through the first two pitches of the next at bat because like and it was just one that hit like towards his hands on the bat and I was like and the announcers were like if you've never had that happen to you you have no idea how bad that feels. And I've had that happen to me and it sucks. And like, it's not like you get used to it just cause you've played baseball longer.
Right.
It always yeah. sucks.
Yes. And is made much worse by 30 degrees or whatever.
Yeah. That's what, yeah. When it's cold. And like some of the games I saw that they were the record lowest and they were in the 20s.
Yeah.
But
what do you, I guess there is no solution yeah. besides like every stadium has like a retractable roof or something like that.
I mean, I think it's insane that Minnesota built a stadium and didn't put a roof on
that
it.
That is crazy. But although it's supposed to be like an incredible stadium.
Yeah.
And like, I think having gone to a lot of Diamondbacks games growing up, like don't like the retractable stadiums are not as aesthetically pleasing
yeah.
as just regular stadiums.
Chase Field is such a weird...
It's very strange.
It's such a weird
yeah.
stadium.
It's like a cube with like a little tent on top or something.
Like I drove by it last weekend because I was in Phoenix and I was like, this doesn't... I would never guess this was a baseball
yeah.
stadium if I couldn't read Chase Field.
And it is really nice.
It's really nice.
Inside,
yeah.
for sure.
And when the roof is open, it still feels like you're in this weird... like a giant gym.
Yeah, that's
but
the thing
like,
is it never feels like you're outside.
Yeah.
At least I'm trying to think if I've ever been to any other retractable
that's,
stadiums.
No, I'm thinking that because I don't know what it's like in Milwaukee or Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, maybe yeah. it's possible to do it better than...
Yeah.
But, like, I think that's a pretty popular stadium.
It's great. I should not... It feels weird, but that's only compared to being in other stadiums, but
yeah.
it's still a very nice place to see a game.
But that like, basically, I don't think that's actually a solution is to do every stadium. It just... I guess it's just, you know, deal with it. Deal with cold games. Like, don't buy tickets if you're a fan
yeah.
until it's May or something.
With stuff like this, like, I do feel bad for the players because also they just got done playing in the warmest, two super warm climates
yeah.
and now you have to... But, like, it's one of those things where it's like, well, both teams are dealing with it. I don't think that, like, if the Rays are in Cleveland, that Cleveland has an advantage because they play in a cold... You know what I mean? I think every player is equally miserable.
Yeah,
like it's not like sometimes with football or something. It's like, well, they practice outside in the cold, so like,
right.
But it's like, no, every Indian hates it as much as every Ray. So it's like, it's better now than well, actually, like in November it's like that or late October
yeah.
sometimes. So it's like,
I guess really the only actual solution would be to shorten the season,
yeah.
which I don't think is going to happen because
no.
there's too many people who care about the. Including myself, I guess, but
yeah.
like the statistical records
industry
yeah. and all that.
I think I would rather have it start early like it did with more off days and deal with like an extra week of cold weather as someone who's not actually dealing with it.
Yeah,
but,
right.
And when I can go to, and when we can go to games, we're going in LA, so we don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
But as a fan that doesn't have to deal with
disqualified to really talk about this.
But it is really, I think if it feels different to watch when they're all like bundled up and the pitcher's like, you can't tell if it's breaking better or worse. And it seems like sometimes they can't tell. And it seems like sometimes the umpires might be making a call because it's cold.
Oh,
like,
no doubt. Yeah. I think especially if the game is like going long or like one team has a big lead, I think they're just like they're expanding that zone for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them. Like, whatever.
It's freezing cold. Yeah. You're staying out there and not doing anything. Yeah.
So that was one weird.
Yeah.
I guess that was like a weird thing that affected a lot of games. But we also saw some freaky things. Andrew McCutchen had 6 hits, first time in his career, so that's a good freaky thing. That's kind of cool.
Including a game-winning homer. He was pumped. Did you watch?
He only had like 2 hits on the season or something before that game. Like,
and I love Andrew McCutchen. I hate the Giants, and it was like a real conflict my brain was going through. It was cool. That was really cool.
Yeah, game-winning. Yeah, I wonder. I should have looked it up, I guess, but like, I wonder how many times that's happened. 6-8 game with a walk-off.
Oh, yeah, that feels like a stat that...
It can't be many. That feels like a Jason Stark stat.
Yeah.
Everybody go to Jason Stark's Twitter.
Jason, tell us.
Hey, Jay!
Yeah, he went 6-for-7, right?
Yeah, 6-for-7.
I didn't watch
7.
The whole game, but just saw the highlights. Yeah, that was really weird. There was the Bregman's walk-off pop-up.
Yeah, because Eric Hosmer... overran an infield pop-up. Gold glove, multi-time gold glove winner Eric Hosmer could not catch a game-ending pop-up
in the not the daytime.
Yeah. That's wild. I can't believe that he did that. Like, he
couldn't either. He saw his face. It's so like I think it's just one of the best things about baseball is that like I bet that happens 6 or 7 times in the major league this year, but where someone just misplays a pop-up, but when it's with nobody on in the second inning and then the next batter strikes out, like no one remember, like it won't even make a high,
right? You know? Yeah.
So it's just like, so situation, like there's all these things. There's like, I've never seen that before. Does that ever happen? That if it just happens in the lowest stakes situation when the A's are playing the Rangers in August, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like in the second inning, like no one knows that someone overran a ball, but
right,
when it's the Padres playing the Astros.
Well, what the Astros really need is some more luck this season also.
The team is so good.
They just need like a couple of breaks to bounce their way, and I think they got a shot at the playoffs, you know? So good.
If they can get that bat pip up. Then
There was a play very similar to that in a White Sox game like 3 or 4 years ago, and it was Gordon Beckham was playing second base, and it was the 9th inning, and I forget who they were playing, but there was like a comeback sort of victory or a comeback in progress, and there's a pop-up just short of the pitcher's mound, and Beckham and the third baseman, who I think was Connor Gillespie, were both going for it, and Beckham runs in, trips on the pitcher's mound, falls down into Connor Gillespie, and the ball drops, and like at least 1 run scored, maybe 2 runs scored. It was just like, boy, this is a fucking metaphor for Gordon Beckham's career.
Those plays are always so crazy too, because like if Hosmer does that with 1 out, like, he might be able to throw out the runner. I don't know what that situation was, but like, who scored that winning run? I think it was,
I don't know.
Whoever. Whoever's on second has to stay. Like, there are just so many, you
oh,
know
right,
what I mean?
Because it was 2
there's
outs,
one
right.
out,
yeah,
and
yeah,
he's
yeah.
just on second. Why can't I think of his name? He's fast. Doesn't matter.
Springer?
No, he's like not a regular player. He's like a pinch, he'd be a pinch runner usually.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. I just feel like he has a name of someone else. Derek Fisher.
Oh, right. Okay.
But he has to, you know what I mean? So like that, Hosmer might be able to still throw him out, or whoever fielded the ball.
Right.
Or it's still first and second,
then
there's a double play.
Yeah.
And that's, it's definitely a boner play, but like, it's a thing I like about baseball is that like these things, like a lot have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like Derek Fisher has to be running with that pitch because there's 2 outs for that play to even be as bad as it was.
Right. Yeah. There's so many variables in any given play of baseball.
And like, I don't think it's fair to say like, oh, that's a dumber play for Hosmer because there were 2 outs and he should, like, it's equally dumb no matter what, but it just super sucks that Fisher is running on contact.
Yeah.
So that play has like the costliest effect at that time. It was still pretty stupid. He just really overran that.
It's pretty hilarious that it happened to Eric Hosmer just because of like his reputation as this defensive whiz. And then like a play that probably you or I would have made in our baseball league today.
Yeah.
Like I caught two pop-ups today and I'm not good at baseball.
I feel like I would like the worst thing that would happen, it would have popped out of my glove.
Right.
Like cuz I don't have the talent to catch a ball, but like,
I wouldn't have missed it.
I think I would have tracked it.
I wouldn't have ran past it.
The metrics have long said he's overrated.
Yeah.
It's weird how much I don't miss Eric Hosmer.
Really?
Yeah. I loved Eric Hosmer. I'll always remember him, and he had some great highlights, but I don't have like a special... I miss Kane more than Hosmer, for sure.
Interesting.
And I would miss Salvi the most if he left, but he signed one of those contracts.
Yeah, he sure did.
He signed a team-friendly contract.
He sure did. His is overly team-friendly, although he also signed a second extension.
Yeah. He's not doing bad. And also, like, he's a catcher, so he could stop being valuable tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
But, I mean, he's on the DL, but yeah.
The one other sort of crazy line out there we wanted to highlight was the Phillies beating the Marlins 20-1.
Yeah. Two grand slams.
Yeah. Man, the Marlins, huh? They just going straight to 100% Marlins.
Yeah, they're they split with the Cubs to open the season. What's his name? Benson?
Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, Lewis Brinson, yeah.
Like, he looked good. I know it's
a
very small sample size, but boy. And then, like, they had, like, 10,000 people there in their second game, which was, like, the lowest they've ever had, which was in that park, I think, which is surprising, but...
You know, you feel for the players a little bit. Although, like... You know, a lot of them maybe would never be major league players if it weren't for the Marlins. Yeah, so they are getting an opportunity, but you don't want to see people get embarrassed out there. But it is like a bit of satisfying schadenfreude to see like this is the team that you put together, Derek Jeter. Like it didn't have to be this way, but
and we've seen other kinds of tanking that didn't feel this bad.
Yeah,
like when the White Sox. Never felt this bad.
Right. And they did essentially the same thing, which was like trade all your best players, trade your all-stars. They did that.
Yeah.
They left a little bit more on the team and they got guys who were, they got really high-end guys who were close to the majors. So it was like not long before Moncada and Giolito and Lopez were up.
It just it didn't feel like a fire sale.
It wasn't new owners, which I think probably is no good to just come in and burn it to the ground.
But it's not like Stanton, Ozuna, or I know Stanton was being paid so much, but it's not like they were older players.
No, prime of their career.
Like I know the White Sox a little bit did that, like with Quintana and stuff. But like they got Eloy Jimenez. Like they got
right.
That Jimenez was the Quintana.
Yeah.
Like it felt like. This felt like what are the Marlins doing?
Yeah.
And then you do feel for like Starlin Castro or Justin Bour, who would be on a major league roster on any team.
Yeah, Real Muto. They've got some decent guys, but pretty embarrassing pretty quick. I stand by my Marlins slogan from last week, which was just the this is fine dog. Like it was an image slogan.
That's right.
This is the fine dog sitting in flames.
Could possibly see 200 losses from Florida this season.
Oh my gosh, that'd be crazy. I don't think the Rays are that bad.
Well, man, their pitching is not good. And the thing is that Cash can't pull pitchers if they're in trouble because he has to save the bullpen.
Yeah, and they did. I mean, they lost their best pitching prospect in spring training.
I mean, I know they have Archer, but like...
Yeah, I think they lost Jose De Leon in spring training for a while too. Pretty good.
They might not be, but also you know to lose 200 games, then the Marlins could lose 110.
Yeah, that's true.
And then all you got to lose is 90.
Yeah.
Oof. I wonder if what's the most losses by a state. I mean, California probably because they have so many teams, but
I'd say average, that's a safe bet. Yeah, or Texas, maybe.
Yeah. Well, You want to move on to those slogans we talked about?
Yeah, let's get into our...
Should have segued then.
And miss that great content of us guessing which states have the most losses?
There had to have been a year that the Reds and Indians were both terrible, like in the 80s.
Oh, I'm sure there was, but I mean, California has... Every team in California could be good, and they would still combine for like 300 losses or whatever.
Or New York when they had three. Okay, we're over it. NL Central?
Yeah, so we've done all the AL teams. We did the NL East last week. So these are our, if you haven't heard this segment yet, these are our personal slogans for how we would sell each team. And just a little bit of forewarning, they got some sass.
There might be some sass.
Sass alert. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Great sass alarm.
Thank you.
We'll start with the best team in the baseball, right? If we're going off by quarter. We'll go start with the Chicago Cubs. Right?
We'll start with the Cubs. We'll disagree about who the best team in baseball is. What's your
Cubs
slogan?
The Cubs slogan is, if anything, the Dodgers are the new Red Sox or Yankees.
Deflecting
the villainy.
My slogan was the Breakfast Club, because there's two reasons. You ready for this?
Yeah.
One is that they got a bunch of like handsome young guys on that team.
They
like
do.
The John Hughes movies. And the other is because I feel like, you know, that song, that movie ends famously with them like frozen, and it's like, don't you forget about me. And I feel like the Cubs are the forgotten great team in the league right now. It's like, like I didn't see many World Series picks for the Cubs. I didn't, you know, like division picks, but I would say they're definitely third in line behind the Nationals and the Dodgers and the NL in people's minds.
I agree with you. I think the Nationals one probably is just because of the window closing narrative.
Sure.
I think if you look at it, I think it's fair to say on paper preseason Dodgers are the best team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Nationals and Cubs are actually pretty even.
Yeah.
But I think with the narrative, you're right. The Nationals are getting, and a lot of people are like, well, I'm going to pick them because this has to be the year.
Right.
And I think in the AL, the Yankees, Indians, and Astros all way overshadowed the Cubs.
Yeah.
That's a good analysis.
Thank you.
The Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah.
You want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay. And you thought Mike Trout was a superstar surrounded by nobodies.
That's good. I like that. Mine is come on down to Dingertown.
They're going to hit a lot of dingers.
They've got I kind of weirdly like the Reds for some reason.
I do too.
So like I didn't want to like shade them for no reason. But they got a lot of dudes who don't walk and hit a lot of homers.
Yeah.
I mean, they got Votto, obviously, but they've got Scott Schebler, and they've got Scooter Gennett hit like 25 homers last year.
Eugenio Suarez.
And they've got one other outfielder whose name is slipping my mind. But I think he made the All-Star team last year.
Reggie Sanders.
Yes. Oh, yeah, Reggie Sanders. That's right.
No, I don't know. I'm still catching up on rosters. When I read that, because I wrote these before the season, the nobodies thing, I don't think that's as much talent as like no one knows who plays for the Reds.
Yeah.
It's Joey Votto and a bunch of nobodies.
Homer Bailey.
Is he still playing for the Reds?
Yeah, he's got like 3 more years on his contract or
something. Has he just always played for the Reds this whole time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had.
Wow.
I think he missed most of the last couple of years because he was hurt, but he has like 3 years and $50 million
is
left on
his
contract.
Is it weird for you to
something.
Think that Joey Cueto was a Red?
Or Johnny Cueto?
Johnny Cueto. I feel like I've already...
He was really good for them.
I know.
Like, when they were good. Adam Duvall is the other Red slugger that I'm thinking of.
Is it weird for you to think of the Brewers as an American League team?
No, I got over that pretty quick. Speaking of Brewers.
Oh, perfect transition.
Perfect. Nice job, dude.
My Brewers one is, we realize winning is fun.
Okay. They're going after it.
Yeah.
Mine is, see how many outfielders one team can play at once. I would kill for their outfield depth. Literally.
You would murder someone for trying to figure out if Ryan Braun can play first for that problem.
Yeah.
Well, the Brewers just lost a series to the Cubs, so.
And I believe that Yelich is going on the DL. So
is he going on the DL? Yeah. I know he hasn't been playing. Yeah. Well, they have a bunch more outfielders,
yeah,
they're fine. Where are we going next? The
Pirates.
Pittsburgh Pirates. Mine is, we don't know what we're trying to do either.
That's maybe a little bit more apt than mine. Mine was, well, it was nice while it lasted, which could apply to both the, you know, previous 4 years or whatever. And also their start this season. They're 7-2. That ain't going to last.
No way. This NL Central is kind of fun. There's not like a...
There's no terrible
for
team.
As bad as the Reds or Pirates could be, like they're interesting to watch. It's not like watching the Marlins are interesting for like a different reason, but it's not like watching the Phillies 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Or watching the Orioles when Manny Machado's not in the lineup.
Yeah.
I guess
Tigers.
They hit a ton of home
the
runs.
The Tigers are extremely uninteresting.
What's finally the St. Louis Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is sorry, but we're good again.
mine is 118 straight years of being the Cardinals.
Yeah.
They're the fucking Cardinals every year. Cut out just like popping out these 3-win players.
I think we had the same sentiment because I was just like, sorry guys,
we're going to be good again. Yeah. Every fucking year.
We're never going to ever lose.
I'm so jealous of that. I can openly say I'm jealous of Cardinals
fans. I am too.
Fans.
Like, is there a team in the league, I guess the Yankees, but that feels different because they pay for it, that it's just that consistently.
Yeah, the Yankees are in a different class, although that is fucked up that they were never, even when they were like bad, they weren't bad. Like
they were still over
500.
Yeah, they were still
it's
over
fucked 500. Up.
They haven't been like bad since the early 90s.
Yeah.
It's also just crazy because the Yankees and the Cardinals are like, probably, I don't think you could really argue if they're the best two best franchises in baseball history.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you could put the Dodgers in there. But, like...
Or the A's, possibly?
Yeah, but the A's were really bad, like, the end of their Philadelphia and the whole time they were in Kansas City. And, like, the Yankees were only... Once they got good in the early 20s, they were only kind of bad in the mid-80s, early... Because they made the World Series in 81. So kind of mid-80s to mid-90s.
This is depressing me.
I know.
As a fan of a team that has never made the playoffs in two straight years, the Cubs just did that for the first time, right?
Oh, no. Oh, well, like 6 years ago, when the year that they got swept back-to-back years by the Dodgers and Diamondbacks. I think this is the first time that they won the division two straight years or something like that. But you're telling me, man. Like, the Royals won the World Series, and I'm like, I guess we're good for 25 years. Like, it's and the Yankees won the World Series, and they're like, boy, we got to
see you
back.
Next year.
Yeah. It is frustrating. It's also frustrating the Cardinals are the Cubs' biggest rival, because I feel like if they weren't, I feel like if they were in the AL West,
you
like, I would have, like,
a
high.
A
yeah, I would, like, really have them on the pedestal they deserve.
Yeah.
It's, like, not fun hating the Cardinals.
Right.
It's way more fun to hate the Brewers, even though I don't really hate the Brewers, but.
I think it's fun to hate the Twins. Fuck the Twins. Y'all hear that?
I don't know how you hate the Twins. To me, that's like
the worst.
That's like hating the dude that always brings like the beer to the party.
Hate that guy. I'm like, dude, we get it. You're nice. I didn't want to drink beer today.
I wonder what like the most objectively hate, like it's probably the Yankees, but like the team that's like,
oh, for sure,
would make the most sense to hate. Like, that's the easiest to hate. It's probably the Yankees.
Yeah, definitely. No question.
Next is...
I mean, everybody has, like, their own regional rivals or whatever, but it's definitely the Yankees.
Like, I like to think about, like, if you met someone from, like, Idaho or someone that didn't have, like, a regional affiliation, like, what's the weirdest team for them to just be a fan of without having any family? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We talked about this before. Like,
I
a Rays fan that's not from... It's like, why are you... Why?
Yeah. I think probably Rays is a good choice. Padres is also a good choice, I think.
But the hate is also the flip side. Like if someone for just no reason, just like super.
I hate the Trenton Thunder. Like, AAA.
Yeah, that's a AAA team. That's the worst.
I hate the Quad City.
I feel like the Mariners, like if you hated the Mariners and you weren't an AL West team fan,
like,
it's like, why would you
about
hate
them?
The Mariners?
I just fucking hate Ichiro. That guy.
That Ichiro got Ken Griffey Jr. sucked to watch.
Yeah, the least fun players in league history. Randy Johnson, Ken Griffey Jr., Ichiro.
A-Rod when he was young and
A-Rod.
Not on steroids yet. boy, did that get my crop.
Fucking Felix Hernandez, don't even get me started.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's it. Anything else?
No, I think that's
it.
Good? It was a good...
good.
We learned a lot.
Good.
We laughed a lot. We cuddled a lot. Yeah. thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. We have a very cool guest who I can tease. He's a writer for The Athletic, and he interviewed Rob Manfred about minor league salaries. So I'm very excited to talk with him about that because I think that's a big problem in baseball. Yeah, tune in for that next week. In the meantime, thank you to Boardwalk. Thank you to Off the Bench. Follow us on Twitter at DuckSnortPod. Like and subscribe in iTunes or whatever podcast platform you use. Please leave reviews. Haven't gotten a review in a while. Would love one.
Give us a review.
That sounded like a James Brown song to me. Give us a review.
Give us a review. And then he dances awesomely for 10 minutes.
Yeah, then he spins. yeah, that's it. We'll be back then. So have a good week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.